It's so good to be in the north. Can we say
Eyl?
Yeah.
Is that allowed? I'm sure I'm not saying it right, but I'll try. I've learned a few words while I've been here on this extensive weekend. One that we don't have in London is a snicket. Yeah, do you know what a snicket is? It gets you between the houses.
That's right.
So in London, we have to call it a path between two houses. So I think snicket's shorter, so I'll take that one back with me. And the other one is a ginnel. Yeah, I don't understand what that is yet, so we'll save that till next time. Fantastic. Snicket's enough for now. But it is fantastic to be with you. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for the blessing of sharing in fellowship together. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your 1 month birthday. Yay! Happy birthday to you. Has there been any cake yet? Has there been any cake? Okay, cake's coming. Don't worry. There'll be cake at some point, I'm sure. Because 20 years of the Ark Church is something that we should celebrate. Amen? And it's something that we should delight in. And something to look at and to say thank you to the Lord. That's what birthdays are all about. Is to look and say, look what the Lord has done. And it is good. Amen? And you know what? We can be terrible at that. We forget to do it. We forget to thank the Lord for the good things. And we forget to give him the glory. And we start worrying about what's ahead. But if we stand firm, able to say, Lord, you are so good for all you have done, then we grow in faith and we grow in expectation and we grow in authority to say, Lord, we want to see more of your kingdom come in the next 20 years. Amen? We want to see more of his goodness when there are 40 candles on the cake. Amen. And not just 20. Wonderful. Well, we're looking at Luke Chapter 9 today, that's just been wonderfully read for us. That was read so well. And I really believe this is something that the Lord wants to say to us today, wants to say for you guys in this 20-year place. I believe the Lord is really speaking about this wonderful sense of being the Jesus movement. I want to encourage you in that moment that we've just heard read to us, where Jesus says, I'm going and I'm going to bring about the salvation of the whole world with my cross and resurrection. Are you up for being part of that? He's saying, are you in? Do you want to be part of the Jesus movement? Are you going to be someone who's going to take up your cross daily and follow me? And my friends, as we read that and as we take it in, it's part of this really long Luke chapter 9, where Jesus is demonstrating and showing us the glory of what it means to be part of the Jesus movement. Because the church is a movement. The church is something that is going to look different tomorrow to what it looked like today. The church is a body that is growing. The church is a place that is going from this place to that place. That started at the cross of Jesus as he gave his life for us. And goes forward and keeps working and keeps fighting and keeps praying. And keeps calling on the Lord until we see him come again. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The church is a movement people. And it's wonderful to explore that, especially because you're a church in that 20 years who've moved around. And it looks like you've come back to where you've started. And in some ways you have, because that's really good. And worshipping here in this place is really, really good. It feels great to be celebrating the Lord Jesus here in Foxford on your birthday. But in the spirit, you have not gone backwards. Amen. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world is not called to be looking backwards or going backwards. And even if you live in the same house for every single day of your entire life, you are going forward with Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And just as we flick back to the beginning of this chapter 9, there are some fantastic things that can sum up what it means to be this Jesus movement. And just as a way of introduction, let's get excited about them for a moment. If you turn to the beginning of Luke 9, it talks about Jesus getting the 12 disciples together, giving them power and authority to get out there and to proclaim the kingdom of God, to see healings. He's saying you don't need to bother packing or taking anything along with you. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? Fantastic. My wife Lydia gets very stressed about the packing. You're one of those, don't like it. She actually just keeps putting it off. She sort of said, oh no, I've just got to do this first. Oh, let me just check that. I'll just take the rubbish out. And I think we're going in like 20 minutes. Pack. But Jesus says, don't even bother. Just go. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide for you. Just go. I remember when I first started to take my faith in Jesus seriously. And I started to read lots of wonderful books about the good news of Jesus. And started to take in what it means to be part of this Jesus movement. I got so excited. I have to be honest, I was a little bit bored with some of the churches I was visiting while I was at university, because they were all about standing still. They were all about a kind of Christian faith which just said, hide here and make sure nothing gets you. And keep the ticket to heaven in your pocket and you'll get there when you die. Oh, Lord Jesus, how boring.
Yeah.
It's like living in a train station and never being able to go somewhere. But the Christian faith and the Christian church and the people who love Jesus are those who are on the move.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's been our heart, it's been our verse, it's been our kind of theme for the whole year in Ichthus, that we want to be on the move for Jesus. And taking hold of this kind of instruction from the Lord on that side of the crucifixion is something we want to take hold of by the Holy Spirit on this side of the resurrection as well. Amen. We want to know that provision. Everything always begins with P. We want to know that power to see demons cast out and people's lives healed. Amen. We want to know that deep sense of when we proclaim his good news, that people can receive it and be transformed by it. But also, Jesus says, do you know what? Actually, that's the purpose of it. There's another P. But there will be some places, there will be some people who reject it and don't want to hear it. And actually, my friends, in the Jesus movement, we're not the kind of people who are about control. We're not the kind of people who are about pushing an agenda. The kind of people who are looking to do something the way the world does it. Looking to make promises about an election that's coming up next year. None of those promises are going to be able to be properly kept. Because, my friends, we are a people who believe in the freedom that God gives. Amen. We believe in a God who says, when I preach the good news, I invite you to join me in it. I don't control you in it. You see, the Jesus movement is a movement full of invitation. Amen. Invitation into the kingdom of God. If we look on a little bit more in chapter 9, it begins to talk about Herod and how Herod got really interested in what Jesus was doing. He's trying to find him. He's trying to see him. He's already had John the Baptist killed. But then he says he's interested in finding Jesus. I reckon at that point, he's not so interested in killing Jesus. He's more interested in figuring out if, can I get Jesus on my side? Maybe I can coerce and see if I can use this good news of Jesus to try and beef up my kingdom. But then as we go really simply on to the next verses, Jesus says he took his disciples away from that temptation of getting lost in the mess of this world. And he says he began teaching them about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And my friends, if we're going to be those who are on the move to proclaim and to preach this good news of Jesus, we are also going to be a people who are looking to invite and to welcome everyone else in. Am I right?
Yeah.
We are a good news people who are on the move to invite and to welcome all kinds of people into the body of Christ. I don't know if you've been watching the news about someone who recently just escaped from prison, has just been caught again. Interesting stuff, right? Interesting story. Wonder what's going on in the heart of that young man. There was a person who was released from prison a good number of years ago. And he'd been given a book by Roger Forster, who began Ichthus, while he was in his prison cell. Doesn't know where it came from, but it got dropped by his cell door.
Yeah.
And he didn't have anything else to read. And so he decided, okay, I'll read that. It's a book about the Trinity, all right? Some people might say a book about the theology of the Trinity is likely to give you a headache. But actually, as he was reading it, the book was sharing about how much God the Father loves God the Son. And as he read it and began to take it in, he began to receive it and understand and feel in his prison cell that love of the Father was being poured out upon him. And beautifully, he gave his life to Jesus there in the prison cell.
Wow.
It was great. And I wasn't there. I've not been in prison yet. And, but when he came out, wonderfully, he was staying with his cousin, who was part of the Ichthus congregation that we were leading. And she said to me, my cousin's been let out of prison. Do you think you could go and see him? I said, I'd love to. So I went and knocked on the door. He answered the door. I felt a bit scared at the size of him and the look in his eye. And I realized, my goodness, here is a man who's very troubled, but who has chosen that he wants to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
It was beautiful because he came out immediately to come with us. It was in December. And came to church for the first time on a Wednesday evening. It was that house groups together kind of time. Began to sing, began to worship Jesus. And loads of the mess that was in his life began to come out. Wow. He began to get healed, he began to get restored. It was only a week later he was out carol singing with us on the streets, even though he didn't know the words to any of the carols. But it was a good noise. And he began to be the most welcoming, the most wonderful person within that church because he knew what it was to join the Jesus movement. To take hold and say, not only do I want to be a receiver, but I want to be a giver. And actually, the example of his life, loads of other people got saved through his life. He became an evangelist who would share the good news with people on the bus or in the park or wherever he could find them. And it became a notion of wanting to join that movement. You see, if we're going to be out there preaching and proclaiming, we've got to be the kind of church that is going to be welcoming people in. And there are so many churches who are being turned onto this beautiful fact at this point. Those who are realizing on this side of COVID that welcoming others into church is such a great thing to do. It's beautiful to hear how many people are focusing and understanding and realizing, man, we need to be the kind of church that loves with his love. And that's what we see happening straight away in Luke 9, where Jesus has said, don't worry about the kingdoms of this world. Come and be a part of my kingdom. They all walk off and they're all in a wilderness place. And then they realize, wow, it's 5,000 of us and we're really hungry. And Jesus says, no problem, my disciples will give you something to eat. Yeah. And they say, what? Jesus, we could try. We could all go to McDonald's, but it's going to be expensive. And he says, don't worry, what have we got? What can we do? And then there are beautiful moments here which are speaking to us and teaching us about being the Jesus movement. He says, Jesus gave them instructions. He said, get them in groups of about 50. This is verse 14. Sit them down to share together. Groups of about 50, it sounds like a local church, don't you think? Groups of about 50, you can probably learn everyone's name in a group of 50. Do you reckon you could manage that? Depending on your memory. And, you know, he wants that gathering. And then it says in verse 16, it says he took the bread, it says he looked to heaven, it said he gave thanks, and it said he broke it. What does that sound like? When else do we see Jesus doing that with a loaf of bread? You see, Jesus is saying the fellowship that you have around the bread and the wine, around the cross, I want that to be shared. I don't want a church that just carries on being 12 people or even 12 tribes. I want a church that is on a movement right through this world. Is anyone in?
Amen.
Is anyone with us for the Jesus movement? You see, it's beautiful and it's wonderful to experience it. And I don't know about you, but being part of the Jesus movement, being on the move for Jesus, I think couldn't be more encouraging. Couldn't be more wonderful in this time. There is an openness to the gospel in our country. I don't know if you've experienced that, but people are more open and more ready and more willing to speak about Jesus. We had a good time listening to some research called the Talking Jesus Research. And it's great fun. They did a survey and they did loads of online and over the phone questionnaires for loads of different kinds of people spread across different parts of the UK. And they ran this research in 2015 and then they ran it again in 2022. In 2015, the statistic was that one in five people would like to talk about their faith with a Christian. They would like to find out a little bit more about what this means to follow Jesus. That's pretty good. That means you've got to have five conversations, and one of them you're going to be able to lead them to Jesus. Up for that?
Yeah.
Sounds good. 2022, the statistics changed. 2022, it's become one in three.
Wow.
Is that good? I think that's good. I think the Jesus movement needs to respond to that and be a kind of people who take hold of it. We're in a time where the Lord is calling the Jesus movement to be on the move, and I want us to be a part of it. But the heart of what we've read today and the heart of what we've taken in that was wonderfully read for us is about what Jesus shares at this point. When all the euphoria of this movement is being shared, when people are realizing, oh my goodness, King Jesus is going to be better than King Herod. When people are realizing, there is mission and purpose. There's something to do with Jesus. Oh, that's fantastic. When people are eating bread and fish and they're picking up 12 baskets full afterwards, like collecting manna in the desert, but in a newly interpreted way, they're looking at this movement and saying, this is fantastic. Then Jesus shares something with them, which seems to jump right from chapter 9 all the way on to chapters 22 and 23. He's immediately saying, I need you to be ready because I'm going to the cross. Yeah. Verse 22 says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, be killed and be raised up on the third day. And I really believe God is saying this to us as the church and as believers in Jesus in this season. That this Jesus movement that he is on, it culminates and it centers around a God who is crucified and risen again. And the invitation is for you and me to be those who carry our cross daily to go with him. This is the power of seeing this movement spread. You know, if we look at being a Jesus movement in the natural, we can make pretty good progress. We can get things done fairly well if we don't kick over our water bottles. We can get so far by being enthusiastic, by being compassionate in the natural, by saying the right things at the right time, by being those who are committed to one another. We can get to a certain point, but then we will reach a limit and we'll never get any further. If we're going to be the kind of people who take hold of this promise that says this good news is not going to be limited to what we can do, but we want it to be unlimited by Christ in us. Amen. And at work through our lives. Is anyone with me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Foxwood?
Yes.
We want to be the kind of people who see this good news flow by the life of Christ in us. And that's the question that Jesus is asking. Everyone else is saying, maybe it's Elijah. Maybe it's the prophets. Maybe it's John the Baptist. Everyone else is muttering about how good and how fun it is to be part of the good news of Jesus. But he says, you. He asks me, he says, Henry. He says, you here at the Ark, who do you say that Jesus is? Are you ready in this next chapter, in this next season? Are we ready in the UK? Are we ready in this world to say, Lord Jesus, we don't want to just believe in a good news that gets this far, but a good news that's going to go all the way. Amen.
Amen.
We want to believe in the beauty and the wonder and the power of the cross and resurrection. And you know, when Jesus says that phrase that a lot of people really love, he says to his disciples, I did some great stuff, but you're going to do greater stuff than I did. A lot of people love that and they say, well, fantastic. Jesus fed the 5,000. I'm going to feed, 5,050. I'm going to be greater. It's going to be brilliant. You know, Jesus, you know, he raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm going to raise Lazarus and the guy in the next tomb as well. Watch me go. Some get confused around these things. And yeah, that's true. I really do hope that that's the case for many people. But actually, really, what I believe the Lord is saying in that moment, in that promise, that greater things will happen through you than what happened through me, is because the spirit of the resurrected Jesus is no longer going to be limited to Galilee and Jerusalem. But the spirit of the resurrected Jesus is going to be poured out across this whole world. That's what Jesus means by greater things. You see, when we're caught in wondering, what am I going to achieve? When we're caught in an opinion of saying, what is my ministry going to look like? Or what is my record going to be? Or when I stand before Jesus, how many can I say that I led to the Lord? Or how many cups of tea did I make? Or how many chairs did I set out? Or how lovely was I? Or what was my reputation like? If we get caught in that kind of mess, we're never going to get anywhere. When Jesus says, greater things will you do, he's speaking to the whole of the Jesus movement. Amen? The global Jesus movement, which incorporates everyone, every nation, every person who chooses to follow him. He says, I want all of you to take hold of it. And for the personal side, I don't really care what my personal record is going to look like. I don't really care what people are going to think of me or not think of me, because that's going to come and go. What I want to see is the kingdom of God here on earth. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I want to see this good news of Jesus preached in all the world so that he comes again. And where he says to us, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We can be encouraged that many of them did. Amen. We can be encouraged that those disciples at that point, they took hold of it and said, you know what you're saying, Jesus? It makes sense. I'm in. I want to be part of that. They realize, wow, it's a fantastic thing to stop being self-conscious and start having myself at the center of my universe. They realize, my goodness, there's going to be this awful thing that shows up called social media. It's going to make everyone so selfish. I don't think the disciples really did hear that. They may have done if they were really prophetic, but I think they realized that when we have ourselves at the center of our own universe, we just get lost. And you know, not many years later, there's an apostle called Paul who gets hold of it. If you look at Galatians 2:20 for a moment, he says, when he's talking about himself and his personal life, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I have been crucified with Christ. I want to encourage you. I really feel the Lord is saying it to us across this nation. I really feel the Lord wants to say it to you here in the Ark in preparation for your next 20 years. Take hold of the cross daily. Take hold of the cross with Jesus. We have been crucified with Christ. Here in Luke 9, it is the first time Jesus starts spelling out the fact that his mission is going to be coming to a climax at the cross, where every other mission and revolution that had been around in Israel at that time had ended at the cross. Other messiahs or pretend messiahs had been crucified and their movements had wrapped up. Did the Jesus movement finish at the cross? That was the moment it launched and was able to go global. And my friends, it's at this point where Jesus is promising the cross, and where he says, take up the cross daily and walk with me. Actually, he can't stop talking about it for the rest of the chapter. He's got three more places where he wants to talk about the cross. And as we start to respond to this word now, maybe we can take some time to pray for you, to pray for one another. But the Lord says, if you step into the power of the cross and the resurrection, I have so much that I want to give you. You know, again, if we look at this world where people live under such anxiety and fear about their health or their life, such anxiety and fear about their relationships, how people see them or not see them, whether they're going to be okay or not, whether they're going to have as many friends as they'd quite like or not. We are the kind of people who say, I have everything I need in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And flowing out of the life of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, we have all that we need. Let me give you three of them, just as we come into land for this morning. With Jesus, straight after he's talked about this, they have an excellent mountain climb. Anyone ever climbed a mountain here? One or two? Yeah, you're a mountain guy. I have to confess that one of my favorite mountain climbs I ever did, I was utterly unprepared for. And I was with some other people who loved the preparation. They had all the gear. Do you know what I mean? They've got the light trousers with zips. Do you know about the zips? So that their trousers sometimes, and then they become shorts. You know, that's the gear. Brilliant. Then they have the boots, the hefty boots. You know those boots? They weigh a ton, don't they? I feel like the boots weigh more than my leg weighs. And you kind of walk along like a sort of spaceman like this. And then they have the little things that you zip over the front of the boots. And then they have the backpack, and it has got a little breathable thing so you don't get a sweaty back. Yeah, it's all the gear. These guys were all ready. And I arrived, and I was in my trainers and my jeans. And they looked at me, and they were like, Henry, shocking. How dare you? I said, don't worry, it's good. It's only Scafell Pike. We can do it. It's just the biggest one in England. It's smaller than the one in Wales, right? Smaller than the one in Scotland. I can handle it. And do you know what? I got to the top of the mountain first. Yeah. Hallelujah. I was very proud of myself. And then as I got a bit older and realized how irresponsible I was, became a dad, I realized that was not a good thing to do. If I had fallen over, broken my ankle, all those kind of things, awful stuff could have happened. But, you know, here at this point, there is a mountain experience where the unexpected really does happen. Not unexpected through being irresponsible, but unexpected because you're with Jesus who has said, I'm going to go to the cross. And then these three disciples, they get to go up there, and there's something called the Transfiguration, which is Jesus shining with glory, which is Jesus shining and radiating the beauty and the glory of who he is in heaven. And a little bit of it comes to touch earth And the disciples, they are loving it. No, they're not. They're asleep. But then they wake up and they're trying to figure out what on earth's going on. But the key thing I want to say about that moment is that heaven is touching earth. And Jesus is speaking with Elijah and Moses about the cross, about his departure. And actually, it's the heart of heaven that is touching into the plan for the cross. And my friends, if we're going to be people who take up the cross and decide that daily we're going to live the power of laying down our lives for Jesus, surrendering all we have for his purposes, choosing to love when no one else loves us, choosing to turn hatred and darkness into blessing and love and support, choosing to turn things upside down in the power of his kingdom, my friends, we experience heaven touching earth. Amen. There is something so beautiful about when we pour ourselves out for the Lord. He wants to give us all the resources of heaven. He wants to meet us in that place. And so if Jesus, when he's preparing to lay himself down, if Jesus, when he's getting ready to say, I'm going to give my life for the sake of salvation, my friends, if we're going to live in that way, in the dynamic and the flow of love and faith and hope, we can expect to see heaven touching earth in our lives. Hallelujah. The second one that I want us to just look at for a moment is that there's this miracle that happens. There's this deliverance that Jesus is able to do. The disciples are trying to do it and they can't. Jesus dives in and is able to set this person free from their sickness and their demonic oppression. And then just as everyone's marveling about it, Jesus turns to the disciples again and says, everyone is marveling. Everyone is bragging. Everyone wants to see this wonderful, marvelous thing. But I say to you one more time, let these words sink into your heart. I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to lay down my life for everyone. If taking up your cross means a fellowship with heaven, taking up the cross is almost also going to mean an enormous amount of humility. And in this season, in this time for us as a church movement, with you guys as part of the love and the life of the body of Christ in this nation, let us be defined by our humility in this time. Amen. Many people look at the church. There was a whole time where many people during COVID were saying, oh my goodness, the church, what a fantastic body of people. They seem to be really kind to everyone. We're not sure how we can deal with this pandemic thing, you know, visiting others and supporting them and loving them. Ah, we could look at the church. They seem to be on the ground. They seem to know how to love and to support others. And you know what was fantastic? There was a wonderful church leader I knew of who was talking to some counselors in the neighborhood they were in. And they said, look, the church, you're so wonderfully positioned. Do you think you could do all kinds of good things for us? And he said, absolutely. We could help you to start to get all the kinds of vaccinations and stuff like that ready. But we will not stop preaching about the good news of Jesus. As the counselors looked at him, they said, you know, is there any way you could just do the good stuff but not the preaching? Would that be all right? And he said, absolutely not. We're going to preach about the good news of Jesus because that is the reason why all the good news will flow. And you see, actually, they were not given the permission to do what they were allowed to do because they held on to the cross of Christ. It put them in a humble place. It meant the kind of authority and recognition they could have had didn't happen. But actually, the Lord is calling his church to be a kind of people who live with that humility. Let's take up our cross and walk with Jesus. Amen. I want to share one more. I'm just going to invite Ben up, who's just going to play for us. And then we're going to listen to a song which focuses on the beauty and the reality of what we've read here today. And for a kind of church, for a kind of people, for a kind of Jesus movement that is connected as brothers and sisters in every nation of this world, in every place, we want to be carrying our cross daily. We want to be taking it up and following Jesus. And that does mean a fellowship with heaven that is supernatural. It is wonderful. It does mean a kind of humility. But also, there's one more time in verse 51 where Jesus is going to say it one more time. And as he's talking with his disciples, and they're wrangling around about who's the most impressive, who's got the most power. This Jesus movement has gone up a gear. Now, who's going to have the right position? Who's going to be most recognized? And he takes a child and says, "Receive this child in my name. Receive the kingdom like a child, and then you'll understand what it is to have the life of Christ living in you." And there in verse 51, it says, "Days were approaching for his ascension, but he was determined to go to Jerusalem." My friends, living as those crucified with Christ, living as those who put the cross and a self-sacrificing kind of love first, is to be those who are determined to go on and on and on in his love. Amen. Amen. We can do things in our own strength, but it will always run out. We'll always reach a point of just saying enough. I've loved to a point where I'm spent out. But the Lord says in this point, even when he is loved to the point of feeding 5,000, even when he's seen a deliverance that no one else could seem to do, even at that point he says, "Now I'm determined to see this through to the end." See, if carrying the cross is about heaven and is about humility, it has to be another H. It's about hope. It's about having a hope. And what Jesus shows, what he delivers, what he takes his disciples to go on to there in Jerusalem, is to say this hope that we have in the power of the resurrection that's going to be achieved is going to go on being preached and lived by you until I come again. Amen. It's going to go on. It needs to go on being preached and lived and shared on and on and on. There was a woman last Christmas who moved my heart so, so deeply with the truth of those words. And she'd become a Christian with us in 2009. God, I'm so old, I'm getting the decades locked now. 2009, that was 13 years ago, last year. And when we met her, she had 5 kids and her husband had left her. Some of them were very young. She was trying to bring them up on her own. But actually, she had been through some horrendous stuff in her life. She'd been treated incredibly badly by her own parents and some others around her. And the husband that had left her had also treated her so badly. She'd been rejected and horribly treated. But the way that Jesus got to work in her life was amazing. As she came into being part of the church, as she joined the Jesus movement, the belonging was amazing. The way that her life turned around, and as she surrendered all those issues and problems to the Lord, she became one of those people who's like an anchor in worship. I don't know if you know that, but when worship leaders lead worship up here, there's a lot of anchor people who know what it is to really worship with you, and they're part of the band even though they don't know they are. And she became one of those people. When she arrived to start worshiping at church, she'd be like, "Oh, we're going to be all right." And it was amazing. And her kids, who were 3 when she got saved, are now 16, 17. And their lives have been totally turned around. One of them ended up in a really prestigious school on a scholarship. It's going on to university. Her life was amazingly turned around. Stuff really was just so beautifully radiant in her life. She began to be one of the people who was helping with the children's work in church and then helping with the creche as well. So much that was flowing through her life. She was rejoicing, rejoicing, and rejoicing. And then there were some relatives of hers who had fallen into a real mess in a different part of her family. A couple of kids who were just 3 and 5 suddenly were being taken into care and unable to be brought up by their parents because of horrendous drug and alcohol abuse and violence. And this woman looked at the situation and thought, "I've been there." And actually, she'd come through it. Her kids had grown up. She'd seen them healed of their stuff. One of their kids has been baptized. The other 2 are getting baptized next year. In a sense, that whole messy chapter was over. And she could have happily just said, "Bless you, I'll pray for you as you go into care. See you later. In some ways, that's what she deserved if you look at this in the world's terms. But without even thinking about it, without even chewing it over, she decided, I'm going to take up my cross. And she said, those two girls are not going into care. They're coming to live with me. And even though I've done a whole journey of taking my kids out of pain and into the fruitful life of Christ, I'm willing to do it for a whole nother generation. Carrying the cross.
Yeah.
The movement of Jesus. Even though she never went to do it in another nation or another city, it's not something that people will write a book about, although I'd quite like to write it. But it's the kind of carrying the cross which happens where you don't go anywhere at all, but in your heart you are following Jesus as part of his movement. Amen. We want to see the beauty and the wonder of carrying the cross. We want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be crucified with you. So let's just be quiet for a moment. And Ben's going to sing a song all about the reality of being crucified with Christ and giving up all of what it might mean for the world to see us by the flesh, but living according to his beautiful good news. Lord, I want to thank you for this time we've shared together this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your good news. But more than anything, Lord, we thank you for the cross and the resurrection. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for pouring out your life for us. Thank you for a sacrifice that we look at and we say, Lord, that is how I want to live. That is the way I want to live. That is the journey I want to go on. You are my Lord and my God. We say today, Lord, have your way in us. Lord, we don't know how to do it, but Lord, we ask you to help us to take up our cross daily and to follow you with everything that we are. As we listen, as we sing now, teach us your ways, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.